So Mark introduced me. My name is Robert Rafi. I am the IT program manager here at Xilinx. Title's a little bit of a misnomer. I actually joined here 2.5 years ago from Deloitte Consulting, where I had led large ERP type implementations, but I come from a business process background. The good news is that I'm surrounded by a fantastic team here, and most of them are actually here today. So if you ask me questions that are over my head, I may well point to them, because I am much more of a darn tootin'. I insisted that they were here. But what I want to do is I'm going to give you a very brief introduction to Xilinx, and then introduce to you our project. And then I picked out 4 or 5 things that we've learned just as we've gone through this process. And one of the interesting things I've noticed as we started down this path about 9 months ago, there's a tremendous amount of interest in the topic of customer data integration or master data management. And 9 months ago, we were one of the also-rans just out there trying to dig up all the information we possibly could. And what we found was there was 1 or 2 people that we could turn to who had actually done it. The rest were kind of like many of you are, perhaps in the dating mode. You know, you're out there thinking about going out and talking to people. Maybe you're talking to Oracle, other people about possible solutions. We were in the dating mode, but we are officially pregnant. We married Oracle. We are carrying it. And hopefully about 9 months from now, we will be live with a baby data hub, which will be growing. The good news is that you'll get another perspective a little bit later from Michelle, who gave birth a while back and can share with you what it's like having a toddler. We have only gotten through the first phase of our project, so the lessons I'm going to share with you are our early on lessons. So to begin with, those of you who aren't familiar with Xilinx, we're a 22-year-old fabless semiconductor company. We actually started the trend of building semiconductors without actually owning a fab, which gives us tremendous flexibility, reduces our overhead, and gives us the chance to spend our money on R&D instead of running a manufacturing operation. We're also very proud of the fact that we are a top-ranked company. We've been ranked in the top 10 of Fortune's best places to work the last 5 years running. So we consider ourselves a very desirable company to work for. This next slide, I actually noticed right before we started that there's one version that's out of date. But just to give you an idea, we do run Oracle Financials as our core. However, one of the things that challenges us is we run a host of other applications. Numbers run from somewhere in the 200 range to 250 range. When we took a look at all of the systems that touch customer transactions, not necessarily customer master, but actually run transactions through, we come up with a number somewhere between 40 and 60, depending on whether you use the definition of application or module. So we've got a pretty complex environment, given that we're only a $1.7 billion company. So that's been one of the biggest challenges we've got to deal with. We started our project officially in January. Our vision is to provide the infrastructure, software, and processes necessary to establish and maintain an integrated, centralized customer master repository, underlining the term customer master repository. We found a lot of misunderstanding in the business. They thought we were replicating our data warehouse, and that's clearly not what we're doing. What we do hope to do, though, is enable linked reporting within the business by creating this hub. Our goal coming out was that we wanted to start off by building a foundation. Xilinx, like many other companies, is really averse to large, major projects. We knew that we had to come up with a way to do this that would allow us to phase it in. So we said, we're going to start by building our foundation. We're going to purchase and install the technology. We knew that we had to develop a data model that would fly in production. We wanted to start off by integrating a very small set of applications, so that we could prove out not only could it support our data model, but we could also get our processes in place for managing the data integration and really initiate our data ownership. Because so far, this has been a project that's been driven out of IT, but we truly believe that data ownership has to reside in the business. Well, if we came in with a big bang approach and told everyone, okay, you got to go hire 5 people to go manage this process, we would never have gotten off the ground. So we started small, figuring that we can build on our success. Our goal is to sufficiently demonstrate value so that we get the funding to continue on. And we look at that as really 2 areas. One is just the value of clean data. the mere fact that we put attention on cleaning the data that we use, and secondarily, the value of integrated data. When we start to show our different application users how they can share information and actually build information that we didn't have before, like relationships that we weren't able to track, we hope that we'll be able to build up enough enthusiasm that we'll continue the project forward. And finally, we found it absolutely key to incorporate the business into the project. Specifically, we knew we had to focus on the scope that we would implement and get their buy-in, along with the success criteria that we would use to justify continuing the project. I put this up just to give you an idea of the kind of team that we've got in place. Obviously, executive sponsorship, like any major project, is critical. We have our CIO and our VP of sales operations, two pretty critical components to the business who are sponsoring this initiative. We have a steering committee that goes across all of the folks who touch customer, marketing, sales, service, biz ops, finance, operations. Our steering committee represents all groups of the company that touch customer. From the project management standpoint, we have myself as a program manager, 50% right now, but in the long run, it's actually going to be a lot less. We have a project manager by the name of Sami Manayapan, who is really the day-to-day leader of the project. Then within the team, we've got our project manager is also sharing the role of solution architect. It happens that he has a real depth on TCA, and so he's been helping us to define the overall data structure. We have two data analysts, a system analyst, a solutions architect, which, because this is such an early phase of the project, we brought in our principal architect for the organization to figure out how do we want this to look in the long run, trying to take that long-term picture and make sure that what we build is going to fit for the long run. And then we also have a functional lead who is more focused on working with the business and defining how the data governance processes are going to work, since we believe they're going to own them in the long run. What we proposed was a basic phased implementation. What we've just finished is phase zero. Phase zero was all about getting the core business constituents together and define a data model that would work for everybody. That piece of work took about as long as we expected. The piece that took longer was deciding on our first implementation cycle. We've had to go through multiple iterations of analysis, and I'll explain part of the reasoning why in a few minutes, but we actually have just successfully completed phase zero, and we're kicking off the work for our first implementation. We are not targeted for our November release originally planned. We had thought we could do this in 6 months. We've adjusted it. We're actually at 9 months right now. And the tentpole item for that turned out to be establishing our messaging structure. We had some upfront work that we knew we had to do, and we wanted to make sure we did it right. So we added a couple of months to make sure that we could get that in place properly. What we've funded through the business is phase zero and phase one. It was about $1.8 million, including the software. Our job is to be successful through phase one and get commitment from the business to continue into phase two and phase three. So let me talk about the learnings that we had coming out of the completion of phase zero. First of all, as I mentioned, the six-month release cycle is difficult to manage. Although we think we can get to a rolling 6 months, we know that to do that, we're going to have to run some projects in parallel. Our initial messaging was the first driver of that. But we've also identified that in our ERP environment, the way we chose to structure party and account, which was actually driven by our 11i implementation, isn't going to necessarily fit with the way we're structuring our go-forward architecture, which means we've got to go back and restructure our historic data. That's a big deal. So we know that we're going to have to start that work well in advance of a six-month implementation cycle. The other thing we're finding is that the value delivery of the customer data hub is heavily dependent on changing business processes. And business process is really hard to drive in 6 months. So we've got to recognize there's some additional complexity that we've got to work through with the business in order to deliver our value. The next learning we had was that for us, D&B was absolutely critical for delivering value in our environment. We already have customer master data all over the place. Where we're adding value is enabling the organization to view its customer in a consolidated way. Well, to do that, we needed some unique identifier that allows us to roll our customer records together correctly. Right now, we have a manual hierarchy assignment that is roughly accurate, but with D&B integration, we're going to actually be able to assign a hierarchy relationship to every customer in our database, which means we'll get an accurate reflection of the activities that are going on throughout a customer family. Another key learning is TCA actually works. And we were joking earlier about, you know, TCA, is it totally confusing architecture or truly confusing? The bottom line is, you know, TCA was a decent design. We spent months in advance of making our decision grilling Oracle about the customer data model and was it going to fit what we did. And what we came to the conclusion was Oracle and Siebel both had a data model that would support our business. Our problem was getting the information out of our source systems, but the data model itself actually works. To your point earlier, we operate in a virtual world. Not only are we fabless, we do business through sales reps who are not employees. We do 85% of our business through distribution. We also sell to design companies. We have a university program where we try to establish relationships early on with engineers. We found that TCA was able to model all of those relationships effectively. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy to generate those automatically in all cases, but the bottom line is the architecture itself can support it. It's how we build the transactional systems to take advantage of those relationships. Another key learning is that the initial data cleansing is a big deal. We're looking at across our seven core applications that truly have the ability to create, maintain, and inactivate customer records. We've identified that we've probably got about 600,000 unique records. That's based on an initial load through D&B. Out of that, over 150,000 D&B couldn't match directly, which means we've got to go through and start working on those. So when it comes to loading the data initially, you've got to build sufficient time up front to make sure that the data you're putting into your hub really is accurate. If you think you're just going to pull out of all your existing systems and load it up, it's not the right answer. One of my favorite things to say is a lot of people think putting the hub in is what it's all about, to clean data. The bottom line is the business today could have clean data in their source systems. They've got the capability to do it today. They simply don't. It's not a high priority. So you've got to assume that you're going to be pulling bad data into the hub, and you're going to have to do some work to get it clean for yourselves. We did find that the current version of Oracle that you're running could be a problem for you. Depending on the version you run, there are some compatibility issues. Certainly, if you're on a very old version, then your version isn't based on the TCA. So you could have a whole structuring issue to deal with. Second is that previous implementations, such as ours, didn't necessarily drive towards the best practice of one-to-one-to-one. So you may have structured your customer data in your transactional systems in a way that doesn't necessarily match how you want to structure it in the hub. Another key learning for us has to do with the data governance. And what this slide conveys, if you look at the bottom half of the slide, that's the technical part. That's where I think a whole lot of what got put up on the whiteboard exists. And it's a simplified view, but the bottom line is you have a hub, you integrate data between your applications. Sometimes it's bi-directional, sometimes it's one direction. The data's in the hub, you make sure you get it clean, and you're sending it out to your user applications. As difficult as that is, that's the easy part. Now, I think I have absolute confidence in our team's ability to go and put that technology in place. The difficulty is the stuff up above, and that's roughly what we're calling data governance. And what we're trying to convey by the picture is here, we've got roughly 40 potential applications or modules that have not only the ability and the right, but really the job of standing up and saying, hey, I think our customer data ought to behave this way. Either I think this attribute ought to be in the hub, or my source of the attribute ought to be the primary key and everyone else should follow me. Whatever, all 40 of those people have the ability to stand up and say, I think you ought to behave this way. IT cannot manage coming to conclusion on those kind of issues. That's a business-centric issue. So what we've proposed and put into place is a data stewardship council. We've taken representation across seven key areas, and we've asked them to identify a senior management level person. And by senior management, I mean not director, not so far removed from the process that they don't know how the business works day to day, but also not a junior person who only knows the transactions. We're looking for people who are forward-thinking enough that they can go, you know, this is how our customer data is going to behave for the next 10 years. I better be thinking ahead about how we want to do business. And they're actually able to put on their Xilinx hat and not just their sales hat or their finance hat. That group has now been put in place, and we're getting them started now so that as we start dealing with key decisions, they get to stretch their wings a little bit and have these discussions. So we've got one core member of our team whose primary responsibility is to make sure that this process gets put in place. The second part around the data governance is the actual ownership of the hub. And again, as I said earlier, we don't believe that that's an IT job. We think that running the hub day to day is a business job. The business needs to get excited and see the value behind managing data day to day. And we're calling that role customer administration. At this point, we've thrown gut level estimates of 3 to 5 people globally who will take on this role. And their job is to take a look at the stuff that's coming into the hub, making sure that our feeds are running properly, making sure that they're correcting the mistakes that get into the system. Question? I can answer them for you too, but why don't we let everyone else get through and we'll come back to it? So we've gotten buy-in from the business to put the data stewardship in place, and we've started meeting already. The customer administration, so far we've said, for the first implementation, if we need to, IT will support that along with help from our pilot application. However, within 3 months after we go live, we expect the business to have hired a full-time body to put into that role. So, again, the key takeaway here, you can't ignore governance, and I'll reiterate that because Mark put it up here, but I didn't hear that coming out of this group, and I think a lot of you are looking at the technical components of how do you put this in, how do you make the integration work, how do you structure it for your data. All of that goes out the window. You can have implementation success but complete deployment failure if you don't do the top half of this slide. So it's half the work. The closing slide for me, because I'm supposed to stick to 20 minutes, this is a story that we've taken out to the business to try to explain what's going on, and I think it'll tie back a little bit to your question. The answer is, when we put our CapEx form together to request the $1.8 million, on the first slide we said, please understand that what we deliver you in a year and a half will not justify the $1.8 million investment. We can't produce $1.8 million in value in our first year. What we're going to do is we're going to build a foundation. We'll integrate one system. Whatever system that is, you'll get cleaner data in it. That's a value. We'll be able to prove out that our data model works in production. But that's about it. There's not a ton of value there. In year two, we hope to implement a few more systems. And we'll have a cleaner data in more systems. We will have been able to prove the data model out pretty much fully. We'll start to align, you'll see the term DCO up there. We have a project around a CRM initiative that we call DCO. We believe we can start to align with the initiatives that they're producing in DCO. And at this point, we'll start to be able to link transactions where a transaction is dependent on more than one application. If we've implemented both of those applications, we can actually demonstrate how we could link those transactions together. But again, limited value at that point. It's not a slam dunk on the value. It's not until year three when we start talking about having our 10 to 20 core systems that are now using a key unique identifier where we can pull those transactions together and really start to get a clear view of the customer that we start to justify all this investment. Now, the good news for us is our executives have bought into this. Our CEO has said, you've got to go do this. Our CIO is saying, this is foundational. You've got to do it. We're arguing you might as well not do the CRM project unless you're going to address this up front. The hard part is our business constituents, the people who are actually having to put, you know, bodies on the ground today to invest in this, are struggling with the idea. Because we're asking them to take resources away from the things that are going to deliver value in the next 6 months in order to deliver value in about 3 years. And I don't know if we're any worse than any other company, but we joke about having organizational ADD. It's really hard to get people to agree to put effort in for a year, 2 years, when they can't really draw a line to the value immediately. So we keep taking this. Every time we present, we make a point of bringing up the pyramid slide and reinforcing that this is a long-term project for us. And I think it will be for all of you as well. And I won't do questions and answers because we'll save that for next.